Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Okay, 7, 8, 9. Tonight we'll do verse 10 for the evening class. Atatra pitiha soyam Shutome varnitak pura Brahmana deva devena Devanam anupricchatam Atatra pitiha soyam Shutome varnitak pura Pura Brahmana deva devena Devanam anupricchatam Now, Atra, in this matter, Api, also, Itihasa, history, I am this, Shrutaha, heard, me, by me. Varnitaha described Pura years ago Brahmana by Brahma Deva Devena the foremost of the demigods Devanam by the demigods Anuprichatam, asking. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The history of the fight between the Lord as a boar and the demon Hiranyaksha was heard by me in a year long ago, as it was described by the foremost of the demigods, Brahma, when he was questioned by the other demigods. Ditir dakshayanikshatar maru maricham kashyapampatim apatyakama chakame sandhyayam vichchayardita. Could you also put the fan on low? Diti, daughter of Daksha, being afflicted with sex desire, begged her husband Kashyapa, the son of Marichi, to have intercourse with her in the evening in order to beget a child. Ishtvagni jihvam payasa purusham yajusham patim nimlochat yardaka asinam agnyagare samahitam. The sun was setting. And the sage was sitting in trance after offering oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, whose tongue is the sacrificial fire. Purport. Fire is considered to be the tongue of the Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And oblations of grains and clarified butter offered to the fire are then thus accepted by him. That is the principle of all sacrifices. Of which Lord Vishnu is the master. In other words, the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu includes the satisfaction of all demigods and other living beings. Hare Krishna, excuse me. Yagyartha karma no anyatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work has to be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu, or actually, the words are just yajna, for the purpose of yajna, and Prabhupada translates it as the satisfaction of Vishnu. Anyatra, otherwise, working one's activity in this world will be just simply a cause of bondage, unless it's done as a sacrifice to Vishnu. We have the word sacrifice, comes from Latin. We don't have the right term in English, although it's close. It means to give something up, and that is the formula: idam indraya na mama. This is for Indra. It's not mine anymore. Tyaga, renouncing, giving up, recognizing. Actually, it's a matter of recognizing that it wasn't yours in the first place. This belongs to Indra. Therefore, it's only correct that it be offered to him. Although the Vedic rituals are rituals, they're just apparently meaningless activity. From the mundane point of view, from the completely materialistic point of view, you're not going to heaven or accomplishing anything in particular just by pouring some butter into a fire and mumbling some words. It's just like other primitive superstitions, it seems to be without any real effect. But the effect of the sacrifice is transcendental. It's not measurable in empiric terms. There's no skeptical scientists try to give a rational explanation for everything. Astrology, they try to explain according to the magnetic forces exerted by different celestial bodies and this and that. Yeah. The moon has its gravitational pull on the that causes the water to go and forward and recede, causing the tides. So if the moon controls the tides, then the planets probably control our lives in subtle ways. They have some effects on our adrenal gland and other organs, and therefore that's the way they have their astrological influence. Anyway, this is an attempt to explain everything in a physical way. But there's no way that anyone's going to be able to explain how the sacrifice is effective in any physical terms. There's no physical phenomena that could explain how mumbling some particular words and pouring these things into the fire are going to bring you to a higher planet. They have to go to another planet. They have to spend hundreds and millions of dollars, risk lives, and expend a great amount of energy to try to propel some tin can into the sky to reach another planet. So how, just by mumbling some words and throwing some things around, you're going to do the same thing? But it is accomplished. It's a subtle technology. But the real essence of the sacrifice is the offering. Brahmarpanam. Brahmahavir. Brahmaiva. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. Brahmagno Brahmanahutam. It's actually the spiritual identity that makes the sacrifice transcendental. We can recognize from a higher point of view that the offering is spiritual. The ghee that is offered is spiritual, havi, or the oblation. The fire is transcendental. The living entity who is expressing his desires through offering the sacrifice, putting in his request for some material benefit, is spiritual. So the real essence of sacrifice is spiritual. In other words, it's devotional service. It's a service. It's a way of worshiping Krishna. We can do practical things for Krishna, but he's not limited to that. He's not the kind of person who just needs to exploit us. Bhavagrahi janardana, he's satisfied even by some nice idea, just by our intention. So it's really the intention that he enjoys, not so much the physical offering, because others are making better offerings than us. What does he need our offering for? But he wants the attitude, the love. So the real essence of sacrifice is that devotional exchange. Yagyo vai Vishnuhu. The sacrifice is Vishnu, and the activity of the sacrifice is service to Vishnu. But we don't necessarily perceive it in that right light. We think otherwise that the sacrifice is worship of various demigods, and that the purpose of it is not the satisfaction of Vishnu, but the satisfaction of our own desires. That's perverted understanding of the actual transcendental purpose of the sacrifice. But that is the Karmakanda understanding. Lesser understanding. Impelled by that, inspired by that Karmakanda understanding, living entities act piously. They perform sacrifice. That is much better than if they didn't perform sacrifice, if they had no interest in it, and just worked materialistically like animals. Chatur hocham karma shuddham. The system of offering sacrifices according to the four Vedas is a way to purify our materialistic tendency to work to get some profit. If we offer the fruit of our work in sacrifice, then we become purified. Our materialistic propensities become purified. Even if we're on that lower level of only understanding it materially, the purpose of the sacrifice, the demigods are just our order suppliers, and we're placing our order for fulfillment of particular desires. That's our view of sacrifice. Still, it's beneficial. It's purifying. But one will not get the ultimate benefit until he realizes that there's something more essential going on in the sacrifice. Yagyo vai Vishnuhu. The object of sacrifice is Vishnu. The sacrifice itself is Vishnu. The goal of the sacrifice is Vishnu. The offerer is a part and parcel of Vishnu. So that's what Krishna says. Brahma pranam brahma havir brahma aknao brahma na hotam. It's Brahman offering Brahman to Brahman. That is the sacrifice. Understood in that light, it becomes spiritual. Kashyapa, he's son of Kashyapa, isn't he? Kashyapam Patim. Oh, this is not Karimuni. I'm over at the temple. Yeah, you know, chapter 21. This is Kashyapa and Diti. Yeah, this is Kashyapa Muni. He's also a pure devotee. He realizes that the sacrifice is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. Therefore, by his performing what others perform just for materialistic purposes, that's, for him, is a method of performing devotional service. Especially in Satya Yuga, this is the designated method of performing devotional service, the Vedic sacrifice. Not in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu. In Satya Yuga, the method is meditation. Tretayam Yajato Mokai. In the Treta Yuga, the standard method of devotional service is the Vedic sacrifice. Because in Treta Yuga, the consciousness is somewhat degraded from the consciousness of Satya Yuga, but it's still pure enough that generally it's commonly understood that the purpose of the sacrifice is the satisfaction of Vishnu. And whatever you do for the satisfaction of Vishnu is devotional service. Tasmat kenap upayena mana krishne niveshayet. Rupa Goswami gives a standard injunction or general principle. By whatever means possible, you should fix your mind on Krishna. If doing a Vedic sacrifice accomplishes that, do it. Whatever will direct your attention toward Krishna, that is your duty. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur Vismartavya najatu chit Sarvavidhi vinishedasyur etayur apikinkaraha. One should always remember Vishnu, never forget him, and all other rules and regulations, all other rules and prohibitions, vidhi and nisheda, are servants of these two. That's actually true. There are many other rules and regulations, but they are just serving the purpose of that those basic regulations. Always remember Vishnu, never forget him. If we can't be Krishna conscious, then we should be Krishna subconscious. We should worship the demigods through the performance of sacrifice, and that will go to Vishnu. That will satisfy Vishnu. Not as much as conscious service, Krishna consciousness. But he'll get some service, he'll get the benefit. The benefit goes to Vishnu. Aham hi sarva yajnana mukta cha prabhureva cha. I am the enjoyer and the controller of all sacrificial performances, the master, the lord of sacrifice. Natu mama bicha avajananti, but unfortunately most living entities don't recognize this fact. Tatvena, they don't understand it properly. They may have some vague, imperfect understanding. Atas chavantite, and therefore they have to become degraded in material existence. It is important what you understand. You can say that devotion is simply a matter of the heart, so your philosophical understanding doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your ideas are right, if your heart is good. But that's not what Krishna says. You can have your opinion about that, but Krishna has his. That it does make a difference what you think. You have to think right as well as feel right. You know, feel from your heart correctly. You have to not only have good sentiments, you have to have tattva-gyan, proper understanding of what is what. Otherwise, you'll be misled, and your good intentions will go bad, will lead to bad results. You'll make mistakes, you'll commit aparads, abusive people will take advantage of you if you don't have tattva-gyana. Real understanding of what Krishna's position is and what our relationship with him is and what our real business with Krishna is, what our real business in life is, that is tattva-gyana. Kardama Muni, he knows, but still he's going to get into an embarrassing situation. Kashyapa. I'm sorry, Kashyapa. That doesn't mean that he's not a pure devotee. Sadavo loke anyai. I can't remember the other word. Words. But even pure devotees get dragged into material duality by other people. Yeah, not of their own fault, because they want to be. But other people just ask them, you know, please do this for me. The wife is asking the husband, the child is asking the father, the disciple is asking the guru, please do this for me. And he does it, and it gets a material reaction. It's not his reaction. He's not at fault. He's not actually degraded. He's just, you know, going along with what people are demanding of him. And he's doing it, but he's not getting reaction because he's a pure soul. Same thing with Kashyapa. He's getting dragged into this illicit affair by his wife, but he will not be degraded by it. The bad reaction will come. The two sons. Kashyapa won't suffer, but most of the universe will suffer by this. And anyway, that was Krishna's arrangement. That had to happen. It will happen. And then Lord Varaha and Lord Nrsimhadev will be able to enjoy their pastimes and deliver their devotees. Varaha will deliver the earth, and Lord Nrsimhadev will deliver Prahlad. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Okay.
Yeah, have you heard the story about why the yugas were changed around?
Why they were changed around? No?
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, Dwarka Army is, like, second in straight time.
Yeah.
I heard one story once, but I was just...
Some sage had you know, promised to do something, and he couldn't do it, and he said, we'll just wait, you know, and then he got the yugas changed around so he could wait 300,000 years? No.
Well,
no.
I heard that Brahma gave Vasishtamuni the responsibility of being Rajaguru for the, you know, solar dynasty. He wasn't so impressed by that, you know, he thought it was a bit of a materialistic...
Vasishta didn't want to do it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a...
Okay.
You know, he did it, but he wasn't really happy. And then Brahma, seeing that he anyway took it and put his head as an order, so he became happy. He said, don't worry, that for your benefit, I'll switch these yugas around so that Ram will come earlier.
Yes. Which will come earlier?
Huh?
What will come earlier?
The Treta Yuga will come first.
Okay.
And don't worry, this duty won't be such a burden because the Lord will come in this dynasty. And
yes, in Treta Yuga, yeah.
Yeah, so, and because I'm pleased with you, therefore, you know, that Yuga will happen before the Dwarka Yuga.
Okay.
I don't know, I heard Dina Bundu telling that one.
Sounds right. I have not heard it. But it's probably, I don't know, somewhere. Maybe in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana. I don't know. I haven't read the book either. Tritiya Yuga Party. It only happens, I don't know how often, once in a day of Brahma or something. You know, that the yugas get switched like that.
So we're in the unusual part of it, right?
Yeah, we're in that that cycle.
Yeah.
Tritiya Yuga Party. That's it. When the, you know, the second and the third ages get switched, that's when Vyasadeva takes birth at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga. And Krishna comes, yeah. Yes. But I don't know if it's only that once in the day of Brahma. The funny thing is that in the Puranas, I think we always see the ages listed in that order, Treta second, always. You never see any mention, any description of Dwarpa coming second. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. But it's not, not all the Puranas are always talking about this particular Yuga cycle either, because there's other avatars.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, you won't find so much mention of what Yuga things happen. It's only when we get down to our local time, to our local cycle,
yeah,
that there's a designation of which Yuga it is.
Yeah.
So it may not be contradictory. It may be that there isn't mention of those other cycles in detail. The yugas aren't identified.
That verse you quoted about when the changing of yugas and Vyasadeva takes birth, that's the one in the Bhagavatam?
Yeah. Beginning of chapter 15 of the first canon. Not 15. 5. Beginning of chapter 5 of the first canon.
Because I think somebody, I remember some.
Dwarpade Samanu Prapte Tritiya Yuga Party.
I remember some Prabhupada disciple had asked Ganeshwami something like that, and, you know, somehow the answer was the transition of the yugas, you know, the passing over of the yugas or something. I don't remember.
I think Prabhupada's translation is that the yugas got switched, and that's what the word Pariyaya means. Pariyaya means change or synonymy, being a synonym. Synonym is a pariyaya. In Udupi, when the sannyasis change every 2 years, that's called pariyaya, switching. So pariyaya means switching one for the other. Sama samabhyam. Oh, that's not pariyaya. That's a different word. I think it's some alankar, but the pariyaya is a different alankar. It has nothing to do with switching, but it does mean switching.
Oh, okay.
It
doesn't mean like ending one thing, starting another thing.
No, it doesn't mean that. Well, it can mean. Pariyaya can also mean sequence.
Right.
But I look at the commentaries in Prabhupada's translation. I think that goes along with the idea of mean switching.
Yeah. Okay. Because the reason why I say it is that I don't think it's so much said in in Prabhupada's books.
Cause but the thing is, it says that in the Parya of the third yuga, Dwarpa is the third yuga, as far as, you know, from what we know.
Yes.
So what does it mean? And then you're saying that the interval between, or the changing of the Dwarpa and the third yuga, but the Dwarpa is the third yuga. That doesn't make sense in taking it like that. But when you take that the Dwarpa Yuga is in the place of the third yuga, which is normally Treta, in the place of substituting, then it makes sense.
Okay.
But we don't have a transition between, we're not talking about the transition between Treta and Dwarpa. We're talking about the transition between Dwarpa and Kali. So why, you know, where's the mention of Kali there? It says Dwarpa and Treta and Tritiya. Tritiya is either Dwarpa itself or Treta, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah.
It's not Kali. So we're not talking about the transition between Dwarpa and Kali, which we should be talking about. That's when it actually happened. That's when Vyasadeva appeared, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga.
Yeah.
But that's not what the verse is not describing that.
Couldn't you take Tritiya to mean like the third Yuga, which in this case is Dwarpa?
Right, but it's not Kali.
But then the Pariya could be like the switch into Kali.
But it says Tritiya Yuga Pariya. In the transition from the third age, or to the third age. But Kali is the fourth age in any case. Why does it say Chaturtha Yuga Pariye? If we're talking about the transition from the third age to the fourth age. You mean Dwarpa? It says when Dwarpa came in the transition of the third age. That's what it says, if you take it as transition.
Oh, I see. When Dwarpa came in the transition of the third age.
Yeah, but Dwarpa is the third age.
Right.
So we're talking about transition from the third to the fourth, but the verse doesn't say that.
Yes, it's Dwarpa.
Yeah. Anyway, I think everybody's... we can look at the commentaries. I think they don't say that. They say that Paryaya means substitution.
Because I was telling this devotee about the story about how in Dwarpa is obviously something to do with me and...
Well, Prabhupada explains how the different lengths, one third, two thirds, one quarter, two third quarters, three quarters, four quarters, it all has to do with the size also.
But I think maybe it's not in Prabhupada's books about it switching. I can't remember reading it.
Well, only it would only be in that, it would especially be at that, the description, the translation and purport to that verse. We can look at it. Maybe it's not there. No, the story I don't know, but it sounds like something authentic.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, all glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.